Now, when an alcoholic decides to quit drinking, we trot out our most useful tool, and it's called willpower. And we put it right in here where I put that little piece of paper, and we said, sick 'em, Will, we're through with that drinking. Never going to take another drink long as we live. Now, down here on the bottom of the chart, I'm restless, irritable, and discontented. Sober, don't feel good. Filled with shame, fear, guilt, and remorse. And as the days go by, the emotions begin to build up. Worse and worse and worse and worse. And next thing you know, it triggers the idea to take a drink. But old willpower's sitting right in there. And we say, no, we're not going to take a drink. We've sworn off. We're not ever going to drink again. And that day we don't drink. But the next day, the emotions are still there. And they build up a little higher and a little higher. And they trigger the idea of taking a drink. And willpower stops it, cuts it off again. But after a while, the emotions get so high, and I feel so lousy, I begin to say to myself, well, hell, I might as well be drunk as feel the way I am now. The idea of taking a drink burns through willpower, and I reach over there and take a drink. And when I take the drink, I trigger the allergy, and I can't stop drinking. I go through the well-known stages of a spree, and I emerge remorseful with a firm resolution not to drink again. And this is repeated over and over and over and over. Unless I can experience an entire psychic change, there's very little hope of my recovery. Now, psychic deals with the mind. We're not dealing with the body now. We're dealing with the mind. Unless I can find a way to live, we're down here on the bottom of the chart. Instead of being restless, irritable, and discontented, filled with shame, fear, guilt, and remorse. Unless I can find a way to live without being that way, then I'm doomed to the next drunk. Because the emotions will continue to build up, build up, build up, burn through willpower. I take a drink and I'm off and running again. But just think, if I could find a way to live down here on the bottom of that chart, where instead of being restless, irritable, and discontented, filled with shame, fear, guilt, and remorse, if I could find a way to live on the bottom of that chart where I could be sober, peaceful, happy, and free at the same time, then I don't need to take a drink to get the sense of ease and comfort that comes from taking a drink of alcohol, because I'll already have that sense of ease and comfort. And time to time, sure, we still have emotional problems. We'll always have emotional problems. But from time to time, when they build up here at this point, it never gets to the point that requires that we take a drink in order to feel better. And that's what recovery is all about. Recovery is not just not drinking. Recovery is having the book will refer to it as spiritual experience, a spiritual awakening, a psychic change, or a personality change sufficient to recover from alcoholism. And that's what our program is about. And that's considered to be then recovery from alcoholism. Joe, let's read the next paragraph there.
It says, on the other hand, and strangely this may seem to those who do not understand, once a psychic change has occurred, the very same person who seemed doomed, who had so many problems he despaired of ever solving them, suddenly finds himself easily able to control his desire for alcohol, the only effort necessary being that required to follow a few simple rules, which is the 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous.
Now, the reason willpower won't work for people like us is just before we take a drink, we don't see anything wrong with drinking. Willpower becomes non-existent. Just before we take a drink, willpower's gone, and we think the drink is okay. So thank God through our program of recovery, even though we still have emotional problems, they never reach the level that we fool ourselves into thinking a drink would make us feel better. That's what our program is all about, and that's all we've got for tonight. I hope you all have enjoyed it. Mm-hmm. Plan on seeing you tomorrow morning.
David, you have anything else?
I love. I told one last night, it involved we alcoholics and our brains. This particular one involves an alcoholic, a member of AA, an Al-Anon, and an Alateen. And they had been to a convention somewhere in one of the cities, and on the way back home, they decided they wanted to take a little shortcut through the country so they could see some scenery for a change. And sure enough, they got out in the country, and after a while, they got lost. And they tried their best to find their way out of there, and they finally ran into an old farmer's house. They went up to the farmer's house, knocked on the door. farmer came to the door and they said, told him what the problem was. They were lost and they needed directions. He said, well, it'll be relatively easy to tell you how to get out of here. But he said, the problem is it's coming on dark. It'll be dark shortly and you're probably going to get lost again. He said, why don't you guys just spend the night here with us and you can get up and go home in the morning? And they said, oh, fine, yeah, that's great. And the farmer said, we just got one problem with it, though. I can only sleep two of you at the house. One of you will have to sleep down in the barn with the animals. But the Alateen said, oh, let me sleep down there. I love animals and they love me and be no problem at all. So they all go to bed with the Alateen down in the barn. After a while, there's a knock on the door. The farmer goes to the door and there stands the Alateen. Alateen said, I can't sleep down there. Said, the pigs are grunting, the cows are mooing, the horses are stomping their feet, and the chickens are clucking. I just cannot sleep down there. So the alcoholic said, okay, come on in the house. I'll go down the barn and I'll sleep with the animals. He said, I was born and raised on a farm. That'll be no problem for me. So they all go to bed with the alcoholic down in the barn. After a while, a knock on the door. Farmer goes to the door, and there stands the alcoholic. And he said, man, I can't sleep down there either. Said, the pigs are grunting, the cows are mooing, the horses are stomping their feet, the chickens are clucking, and I just can't sleep. The Al-Anon said, well, okay, come on in. I knew it would be up to me to handle the situation in the first place. She said, you guys go to bed, and I'll go down to the barn, and I'll sleep with the animals. So they all go to bed. She goes down to the barn sleeping with the animals, and after a while, there's a knock on the door. The farmer goes to the door, and there stand the cows and the pigs and the chickens. My wife has been in Al-Anon for 34 years, and she gets mad as hell when she hears me tell that story every time. Joe and I love Al-Anon. We both think it's one of the greatest things that ever happened to the Fellowship of Alcoholics Anonymous. You know, I always tell people who are non-alcoholic is that you people can't make us drink, but you can sure as hell make us thirsty. And by going to Al-Anon, it makes it much, much easier for us drunks to stay sober. Okay, we spent a lot of time last night in the forewords and the preface and the table of contents and history about the book, and we got into the doctor's opinion, and in the doctor's opinion, we found out what our problem really is. We found out it's not weak will, it's not moral character, it's not sin, that we do suffer from an illness. We found out it's a twofold illness. A physical allergy of the body that ensures that we can't safely drink any longer. An obsession of the mind that ensures that left on our own resources, we can't keep from drinking. And if we can't drink without getting drunk, and if we can't keep from drinking, then surely, surely, we become absolutely powerless over alcohol. So for the first time, we see through the doctor's opinion what our problem really is. Now this morning, we're going to look at Bill's story. And if we go back and look at Bill's story, remember that Bill, when he first started trying to help other alcoholics up in New York City, that he always tried to force the spiritual experience on them, and none of them responded. And he went to Dr. Silkworth, and Dr. Silkworth said, well, Bill, why don't you explain to them the exact nature of the illness? Tell them what's wrong with them. And after you tell them what's wrong with them, you can get their attention, and then you can talk to them about spirituality. So the very next person Bill talked to was Dr. Bob. And he sat down with Dr. Bob and did something he had never done before. He began to tell Dr. Bob about Bill's drinking, didn't talk about Dr. Bob's drinking. And through the talking about his drinking, he talked about his own physical allergy. He talked about his own obsession of the mind. And immediately Dr. Bob could identify with another alcoholic. And for the first time, Dr. Bob understood what his problem was too, through Bill sharing his story with Dr. Bob.